G'day guys and welcome to the
Scouting Australia podcast.
It's powered by Australian Property Scouts. I'd like to welcome you all to episode number 2, guys, and we're actually pumped, super chuffed. This thing went off. We didn't actually think we'd ever make it at number 2. So, Jimmy, mate, we're doing something right apparently.
People are writing in already as well. Wow. I love it.
Wow.
It's gone off.
There's some good questions,
mate. I think there's about 10 people that watched it.
The first time. Mate, there are.
Your family.
Yeah.
Tommy's family.
Oh, mate, that's terrible. No, that's a good one. That's a good one, mate. It's good, man. It was some really good feedback from a lot of people and some really good questions kind of coming in off the back of that last one as well. But, mate, how did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed it. I think it was a great start. Loved it. Loved the feedback from our audience. And I think we touched on so much. There was so much breadth of so many different topics. It just goes to show you there is just so much.
So much to talk about.
Yeah, right? There is.
Yeah.
And digging into your situation, I'm keen and eager to find out a little bit more about your personal journey.
Yeah.
And I think one of the big things that I've seen someone write in, but I was already thinking it.
Yep.
You've done podcasts on other episodes, on other, you know,
platforms.
Yeah. But really, some of the stuff that we're going to dive into, I'm just curious as to whether or not we're going to get some hidden gems that hasn't been heard or released.
Ooh. Yeah, there's definitely some things that haven't been asked or haven't been probed out of me, that's for sure. There's a little bit of juicy goodness there, that's for
all
sure.
All right. I look forward to that.
Likewise, mate.
But before we get on to the first segment, there was a question and I thought I just got to get this off the top. It said, why didn't Sam become a professional soccer player?
It was
because you said semi-pro.
Wow, I did.
So I was just curious, to get it out of the way.
Would you like me to break down the difference between semi-pro and pro in sport? Well, my definition anyway is semi-pro is getting paid but not enough to live on, and professional is enough to live on. Mate, I just didn't make the cut. I pushed hard with it. I was a bit of a different player to your typical soccer player. I was more of your kind of aggressive central midfield battler.
Bit of a red card sort of specialist.
I did average a couple of seasons along with a couple of goals with it. But I struggled to make the cut. I think when I was in those teens, it's one of those things where you break into first grade squads, mate, you either break in and do well, or you don't quite cut.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you got to push out guys, especially when you're in your teens, you got to push out guys that are like, proven performers that are in their 20s and stuff as well, that are playing well game in, game out, and they've got that experience as well. Mate, yeah, just struggled to make the cut on it. When I was 19, I had a hip surgery. And mate, I never really came back from that. So I was playing at the time, I was playing for Sutherland Sharks. It was an excellent team, man. They were winning like season after season, really, really high flyers at the time. Couldn't break into that starting 11. And then when I moved on from them, that was after hip surgery. So I went down to Wolves for the next season, Wollongong Wolves. So all in New South Wales Premier League. Which is top flight for Sydney. And cool. Just couldn't break in. Like after I came back from the hip surgery, just wasn't the same sort of.
Semi-pro sort of still.
Oh, mate, I still loved it. I still loved it, man. I ended up going playing down the Illawarra. Still get paid good money, play with your mates, and not quite as hectic or as intense, and it allows you to kind of pursue other things as well. So, it was a big love of mine for a long time there and super dedicated for a long time there as well. I met some great people, but, mate, not everything is there to be fully executed on, I guess. Or won the battle.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got the first question out of the way.
Wow.
That was pressing.
That was a bit of a low blow on me, man. Throwing me back.
Don't talk about the audience like that. But today, on today's episode, something that you want to talk about, and it's a continuation from what we touched on about the mindset.
Yes.
This is a really important part of the mindset. We didn't have time to cover it last week.
Well, it was a really good question from one of the audience, and I really appreciate it getting sent in, because it was something we kind of missed off and didn't cover. And it's a really big one of you know, the people around you, when they're, not in the same mindset as you and essentially either trying to pull you back and it can also be sometimes from a good place, of worrying about them and trying to keep you from doing something, over-investing or something like that. And it's how to overcome, when you're, especially like your family or your partner or whatever is trying to tell you not to go and do this thing as well. So I'm actually really, I guess, intrigued on your side of it as well. Like, what's your view on it?
You're talking about your circle of influence, right? The people around you.
Yeah.
I actually came across this in one of my early businesses that I was involved in the fitness industry,
yep.
gym business,
mm-hmm.
and all of my family said, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fail. This is not going to work out. Yep.
Look at your physique, mate. You obviously didn't do too. You obviously weren't in there too much, mate. That was your problem, I think.
It was a very passive investment.
Yeah, I can see.
Wow, he's gone the low blow back.
Oh, mate, I got to get
easy. Got him a little bit early there.
Got your back, mate. Yeah, go on.
But the interesting thing was, and it did cause a bit of a rift with my family initially because yep. I was like, why is everyone so negative about this?
Mm.
And the irony is, one of my good friends who had already owned three of these gym businesses. He said very early on, you got to be very careful of the advice you get from people who haven't done what you're trying to do.
100%.
And that was just like smacked me right in the face. Mm. And it just, because I was living that. And yeah, didn't listen to him, started the business. It was very successful and followed the advice from my mate. He was a mentor who had already done it, just copied exactly what he had done. And you know what the funny thing that happened?
Tell me.
All your family afterwards goes, gee, that was a great idea.
Wow.
You should have done that.
Yeah, wow.
You should have done that.
You've made great money, glad but you still did look that. Like shit. I'm with you, but it's so true. And it's actually massive in Australia as well because you've got two sides of it, right? Half of it, everyone in Australia, they think they know how to invest. They think they know what they're doing when it comes to property because they've gone out and they've bought it themselves. Like we're a very different country to say America, where 95% of people use buyer's agents and 5% don't. Whereas in Australia, you know, 95% of people go it alone and the other 5% use BAs. And I think it's a very funny thing of getting out there and trying to invest and then you or even trying to buy your first property or whatever and you got, you know, Uncle Joe and you know, Jim from down the road and all these people that have no idea what they're doing or they've bought one thing or they got burnt once or they knew someone that got burnt and they're trying to give you advice. And it's very hard when you're young to not take that advice or at any age, even when you're trying to start out, it can even be worse when you're older because the fear can be real, man, of like you have one chance at this or a lot of people perceive that they have one chance depending how old they are and not wanting to stuff it up. And then that negative mindset of those other people trying to, whether they're trying to look after you or just deter you from doing it or whatever, you know, it's a huge deterrent, man. But that, mate, exactly what you said there, the biggest question to ask is, well, what do you have? What have you done? How successful have you been?
Mm.
And if they haven't, they aren't the right person to be speaking to or taking advice from.
So in your situation then, when you started out, because you're on the farm, your folks,
yep.
Did they have how many properties did they have at the time?
So my parents they bought one in the 70s up in the Sutherland Shire that had like doubled for them in 3 years or something. They did quite well out of it. But when they sold out of it, they went and bought a farm down the Highlands, just like this little tiny old farm with this little old shack on it. They owned that. That was their primary residence. And then on that farm, the old boy had built up this big rabbit farm during the 80s. He sold it in the early 90s. And with what he sold it for, he went and bought a little beach shack down at down near Sussex Inlet. That was the extent of it. They didn't have anything else. They had a home and they had a holiday home. And that was it, mate. They'd never invested before.
Do you think they didn't invest because they just didn't have the ambitions to it? Or back then, that's not what you did. You bought one house, you paid it off, and that was it.
Nah, they talked to me plenty of times that they'd looked at this, they'd looked at that, all the rest of it. But the procrastination set in, you know, like we're talking about in the last episode, the perfect deal never came along that 100% sold them on it. And it happens for so many people. So many people, I could have bought that place down the road, you know, 20 years ago for 100 grand, it's worth $1 million now. And like all of us hear it or the, you know, the older generation, they've seen the way that it works with it and someone talked them out of it or for whatever reason they didn't buy it. And it's very prevalent, mate, for sure.
So when you were looking at your first property, whose advice did you ask? Did you tell your folks you were going
to
do it?
Yeah, I spoke to my old boy about it. Like I had a chat to the parents. It was the old boy talking me out of going and buying the Supra because that's what I really wanted to buy. I was looking at these Supras.
Smart.
Well, he was an ex-mechanic, right? Mechanic by trade. He was smart because he'd go along, mate, this is a piece of shit. This is going to break down. This is that. And after a while, I was getting over, you know, all these cars not checking out. And I started looking into different forms of, he had suggested to me as well, why don't you look at buying a house? And then that, you know, those ideas kind of kept percolating in my mind, you know, that little push towards it.
Yep.
Just kind of reinvigorated and re-sparked it. And it was cool, mate. It really pushed me out of my comfort zone going and doing something like that.
So you're saying that your circle of influence back then at the start, they were quite supportive of you to get into investing?
Yeah, well, more than buying an old Jap car, that's for sure. So yeah, definitely trying to push me down the avenue of buying the first one.
And what about your mates?
No one knew.
No one.
So pretty much, mate, even until, like, people knew I had, like, my mates knew I had a couple, or one here, one there, something like that. I knew I owned my own home, those sorts of things, and a couple of others, but no one really knew what I ever did. I was, you know this, man, like, tall poppy is massive in Australia. You've got to be a little bit careful who you tell too much to for things kind of coming back at you. But yeah, man, I kind of kept a lot of it close to my chest. So, like, they obviously knew when I bought it, but I wasn't really telling anyone that I was out there hunting for my first property.
So once you started,
because I was 19 as well, I was pretty young.
I get that. So at what point were your parents supportive always with your investing? Like, after you did a couple of deals, were they like, yeah, this is awesome, you go, keep going?
No, it was more kind of after I did a couple, they were kind of like, ooh, like, don't get too crazy here. Like, they're trying to remind me of, it wasn't that much earlier that, you know, interest rates had done their thing where, not that much sure, it was 20 years earlier, but where interest rates peaked up around, you know, 18, 19% sort of thing. But it was also a very different time back then as well. You know, the average house price to income ratios were like 2 to 1. Whereas now, at the time, they're like 7 to 1. So they could never smash them that high. It just crippled the whole country. But yeah, they tried to rein me in a little bit after the second one. Just try and, like, be like, well, you know, maybe you should slow down and just take it easy. Because, like, I worked for my parents on the farm, labor. Like, they knew I didn't make that much money. Mm. So yeah, they were definitely a little wary of me, I guess, getting too deep into it as well.
So wasn't it necessarily out of not wanting you to achieve. It was just more the fear of you might make a mistake and it might cripple you, or you might be set back.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah, pretty much, man.
And then after you just disregarded them?
I just kind of, I didn't tell them what I was doing. I just kept it to myself. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and just kept buying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then at which point did they realize this boy's serious?
When I won Investor of the Year in 2020. That was pretty.
So from the point of doing a couple,
that was a bit of a.
Gee, things really escalated quickly, didn't they?
Wow, you want to invest in you with 2 properties? Australia must be pretty shit for investors.
Going from a little hobby of a couple of properties to Investor of the Year,
yeah,
must have been. So not much competition around at that time.
It's like you and the gyms, huh? Nah, so it was I just kind of, yeah, I didn't say too much, mate. I think they knew I had bought a couple of others because every year I take holidays. And again, going back to that last episode talking about, like, sacrifice, you know, I'd go for a holiday and I wouldn't go to Europe, and I wouldn't go to, you know, or Canada for a ski holiday or something like that. For 7 years from 21 until I was 28, never, like, I didn't leave the country on a holiday or anything like that. My holidays were renovating properties. So I drive interstate, Brizzy, Adelaide, you know, even regionally within New South Wales as well. I drive and load up the ute with everything, and then go take all my tools and everything with me and go smash out a reno over a few weeks. So that was my definition of a holiday for a while.
Were your parents good with money? And I mean that in the sense that teaching you, because obviously you've done really well now, but were they good with finances that you were following what they had done, or were you looking at what they did and thought, no, I don't want to do this. I want to do something not completely overly different.
They were very stringent, like, you know, frugal with their money. They never frittered it away. We didn't have expensive cars, you know. They didn't try and buy us everything, and we didn't get everything that we wanted, sort of thing as well. I didn't come from a poor family or anything like that, and we always had everything we needed, but we had to earn what we wanted as well. They weren't crazy smart with what they were doing, but they definitely weren't unintelligent with it as well. So it was more about, like, reducing debt than trying to build out income streams and build a portfolio and all the rest of it.
And so then when you became Investor of the Year, how did you break the news to them? How did you tell them?
I literally came out. I got the call when I was at work.
just before that, how many properties had you bought? Like, to qualify for Investor of the Year, what were the prerequisites?
There's no prerequisite. You essentially just send all your info in.
Okay, so what you've done.
Yeah, so back in the day, there was 3 big property mags that were kicking around at the time, and the big one that always had the annual Strategic Investor of the Year, which was the big one, was Your Investment Property magazine. And it was great. The content across those three magazines, that's where I learned most of my craft and most of my trade, was literally I'd read all three of those magazines back to front. Literally read them back to front, and just every month it was just religious. And that was my, you know, they were my podcasts from back then, because podcasts weren't really around. That was one of my goals when I first... We'll go into this when we actually do the dissection of my portfolio in a little bit deeper detail. But like, I picked that up when I was 19, and I'm pretty sure that the first episode I picked up, or was one of the first ones that I got that came through when I subscribed, was the Investor of the Year edition. Yeah, that came through every year. And I remember reading that and I go, that's what I want. Like that, I think that was my first proper goal, my first big goal. That was pretty sick.
So you just wanted to get your mug on the... On the mag.
On the front cover, mate. That's what it was all about.
So then tell me, you told your folks on the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
So you walked in.
Oh, mate.
Saw the old man.
He didn't believe me. He goes, no, you didn't. And walked away. Dead set. Oh, yeah, I did. And he goes, how? I go, what do you mean how, mate? The portfolio. And I just remember like, I still think about it. I walked in and he didn't believe me until the bloody magazine. Literally, he didn't believe me until the magazine came out.
And you had to show him the mag.
Yeah,
but then like, when you showed him the mag.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, were they happy for you?
Yeah, of course, man. They were happy. But yeah, they didn't know what I was, you know, what I kind of built at that time. And even like looking back now, I think I won it because of the diverse amount of strategies that I really kind of put in place and all the different things I'd tried, and I'd done quite well across the board with a lot of different things. I have a huge portfolio. So I think I can't even remember the exact number, maybe 15, 18 properties, something like that. Like still decent, but not huge. But each property was like very specific for what I needed, because that was a big thing I kept gleaning from all these magazines that I kept reading, was just like, you have to, attain the asset that you really need next. Mm. You know, do you need cash flow? Do you need an equity chunk? Do you need them both, you know, to be able to keep moving forward?
But that, you to get to that level,
yeah.
You just said you had at least 15 properties, right? Let's just say there was 15.
Mm-hmm.
But your parents, up until the first two or three, did you not tell them anything from that until the 15?
Yeah, I don't think so, mate. It wasn't much.
But it's an interesting point. Yeah, the reason why I want to highlight that is because, and I think for a lot of our listeners out there seeking validation from your family or your friends, sometimes you just have to go it alone, in the sense that, because that negativity or their fear portraying onto you, it might stop you from doing it. You got to keep your focus on what you want to achieve.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's interesting that you chose not to tell them.
Mm. Yeah, mate. Like I didn't need, I think I needed their help and their validation on the first one. I got the strategy for the second one, which obviously we'll jump into when we do that body. But I got that, that strategy from my girlfriend at the time. Her brother-in-law had done the strategy reasonably well, and I just kind of refined what he had done and pushed on with that. But yeah, the first deal I got there, kind of tick of approval, I literally couldn't, I knew it was a great deal. I couldn't sign the contract until they'd been through it. I nearly actually lost the deal because of that. Thankfully I didn't. And, but then the second deal, I didn't even run it past him. I just told him I'd bought a block of dirt.
Yeah. And when you look at your circle of influence, because people are thinking, well, who else is involved? I mean, it's essentially your tribe, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's your siblings, could be anyone, right?
Yeah.
Anyone who you confide in and seek their approval.
Yeah.
And they might not give you the advice. They're going to give you the advice through their own lens.
Yeah.
So did you chat to any of your mates, or were you running anyone through? Who are you bouncing this off?
No one.
It was completely solo.
Yeah, it was all me, man. So like I said, with the second one, I was building the strategy and the ideas of what I had to do with Mrs. at the time, you know, brother-in-law. Ran through some stuff with him and kind of formulated, well, that makes sense. You know, I'll make money off that deal. So that makes sense to do it. But man, it took me 3 years to save my first deposit to buy my first one at 19. It took me another 3 years to kind of save up the rest of it, plus a bit of an equity release to buy the second one. So it was just like, man, I was just gleaning so much information. Like I've kind of got like a, you know, a diploma in property or whatever you want, bachelor's in property, whatever, from the amount of content that I consumed during that time. And I was just constantly looking at property as well. So I was constantly like researching, trying to find different markets, trying to find little different, you know, ins and outs and learn different markets as I went as well. So yeah, man, it was solo. And Mate, to be honest, like I think that was one of the big saving graces I have, because you see a lot of people these days and they just get deterred too much by people around them saying, don't do it, or don't do it.
Some might say it like that.
Some might say it like that, depending on your background. But yeah, man. So like there's just too much external factors of what's around. Yeah. I wish I had a mentor back then. I look at a lot of the young, especially the young clients I help these days, or even like I was telling you about the other one, you know, in his 50s. And when you have the right person that can help you, like a mentor in that sense, the scaling ability of what you can do, and it's because you're learning from what they learned. You know, it took me like 7 years to learn what I can do for other people in 1 or 2 years. Mm. You know, and it's yeah, man, if you can get a mentor to help you with that stuff, it's a lot easier. But you need someone that's done what you want to do and someone's going to support what you're trying to push to do, not just even mum and dad. It can be very hard because they're gonna think they're looking after your best interest, but it might be deterring you from what you're really chasing.
And their insecurities too.
Definitely.
Just to be honest, their insecurities about the things they may not have done,
yep,
might be projecting onto you,
yeah,
as well. Do
yeah.
you ever find that?
Yeah,
just
yeah,
because
yeah,
they couldn't
course.
Do it.
Yeah,
they love you. I mean, obviously, your parents love you for any child, but just their own fear.
Well, there's so many people as well in Australia that have been burnt in property. So property is an amazing vehicle if you get it right, right? But if you get it wrong. Like a lot of people get sold off the plans. My financial advisor recommended me this property and it's got, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there's actually like a 40, 50 grand bloody commission built into that thing as well. Right? So they're literally buying something that was recommended to them and they're losing money as soon as they buy it. They buy in the wrong area that's just had a boom and they sit on it for 10 or 15 years and lose money. And that is like, that happens all the time. There's so many people around Australia that have had that happen, especially if they do it in super, like they can lose a lot of money in super from doing stuff like that too. So, man, there's just so many people that have been burnt by it as well. So they may think that they're acting in your best interest, but it depends. Like, are you doing the research? You know, are you looking into, are you learning from their mistakes of what they did wrong to then implement it in the right way for your own portfolio as well and your own journey?
You know, I think about the circle of influence and we're targeting, you know, we're speaking to people who might be just starting out or they're a couple in, like what you said, and you've got to go it on your own. But what about now where you're at? And for anyone who's built a sizable portfolio, maybe not 40 properties, but that circle of influence and that pressure from other people and not listening to other people's, do you still find that now?
Or for, you for myself?
Yeah.
Nah.
Don't even.
I don't care what anyone else thinks, to be honest, mate. I do what I need to do with my own stuff. Mm. I know what I need to achieve and what I'm chasing. But I've done it long enough. I've earned the right to be able to do that and know what I'm doing.
Mm. But in terms of involving, like talking to your family about what you're achieving or your friends or anything like that, how do you find that?
Oh, mate, unless my family, on the very off chance that they might listen to this podcast, they would have no idea how many properties I have anyway. Mm. So it doesn't, but I think that's okay, man. Cause like you don't need to be this, you know, big swinging of energy, you know what I mean? Like, and walking around like you're the best or anything. You know, it's just, most people are out there trying to do this to build themselves a life that they're really trying to do. So I don't think there's anything wrong with not talking to your family who aren't on the same page as you about this. I know that's how I am. That's how I look at it. The only one I really talk to about it with is my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, because he's on his own journey. And he's trying to, you know, for them, trying to build that lifestyle for his family as well. I'll talk to him about stuff. But other than that, mate.
I think you hit it on the head. And I think that's what I was alluding to. It's not necessarily you promoting it for yourself to try and tell everyone. But don't expect while you're doing your journey in property or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Don't do it for the pat on the shoulders or the acceptance or the accolades, because you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, 100%. You're doing it for the wrong
And you're never going to get that validation from them.
Did you experience that with your stuff? Because you've got a fair, like you're on 8 properties now. You're on the hunt for the next 2 to hit your double digits. Like what have you gone through with this as well?
From that early age of that business, I my family loves me and they're very supportive, but I don't really tell them too much about what I'm doing with my properties or because for the sole reason that I'm comfortable in my own decisions. Mm. I'll tell them afterwards if they ask me, but
the cubby houses, right?
Your old man, that was a classic. So my dad, my sister told him that I was doing these house and granny deals and all that. And he said, son, what's these cubby houses you're building? I just cracked up. I started pissing myself. Oh, like, gee, that's
when you told me that, you killed me.
So, but then again, no one understands what you're doing. And to be fair, my sister and her husband, they've done well in property, but they've mainly invested in Melbourne. That's it. Mm-hmm. He's a plumber, builder. He's done a lot of these projects.
Yeah.
So the thought of buying elsewhere outside of Victoria for them or even Melbourne, he's like foreign. Nah, never would do it.
Yeah, right.
So the fact that I said, oh, I'm buying this in Perth or... like you're mad. Mm. What are you doing? I hope you know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just normal, right?
But I mean, what are the, like, you look at the results and we're going to dive into Jimmy's portfolio because I know a lot of people have been asking, who even is this stallion sitting across the table from me?
He's a nobody.
So we're going to need to do a bit of a portfolio dissection down the track as well. So that's definitely coming.
All right.
But mate, you've had some excellent results from what you've done and doing that, going against the grain, doing against, you know, what other people have spoken about as well. And it sounds like, mate, you're the same as me. You don't talk about what you do till after you've done it anyway. So.
Yeah. If you don't have people that are on the same page as you.
Yep.
Don't ask them questions that you might get upset about. I think that's what I found. Yeah. Like, don't go seeking an answer from someone who you're not going to get the answer you want. You're just setting yourself up to get really disappointed or frustrated.
Yep.
And you're trying to convince other people to follow your journey.
Mm.
Don't do it.
You know what I did as well? This just kind of popped back into my mind. You have your circle of mates that you love, right? But that maybe don't think on the same level as you, or don't want to think on the same level as you. Don't estrange them, obviously, you know, get rid of them or anything like that. But it's like you're gonna start building a second group of friends that think on the same level as you. You won't even mean to. You may not even be looking to do it, but you'll be building, you know, that circle, that separate circle of people that think the same way as you and trying to achieve the same things as you. And you'll still keep those old friends, but it's a funny thing. The conversations are so different.
Mm.
You know, it's like when you and I catch up, it's so high level compared to what I might catch up with old soccer mates and we're just, you know,
talking about shit. Why you didn't become a professional.
Oh, mate. God, don't even, I'm gonna be honest.
I had to.
Normally I'm quick my comebacks on you. You've got me on it. Like, yeah, mate.
They often do say that you're the average of the five people you hang around with.
100%.
And how did you find that? Because I love all my mates as well. And you get along, you got different mates. And I think as you get older, you just have different mates for different things.
Yep.
So you go to the gym with certain mates.
Yeah.
You go to the footy for this.
Yeah.
You have your mates that are into investing.
100%.
How did you find that?
Mine was a funny one. Like I did my own stuff for a long time, right? Like I was kind of saying to you. I was at a developing seminar years ago. I can't think it was 2018, something like that. And I met these two fellas. I'm actually going to get them on the show because they got very, very interesting stories. Two mates of mine. And man, I caught up with them and the energy that they had and their passion for property and investing. And they're developers, right? They love it. Man, I just like, holy shit, these are my people. Like, this is what I've been looking for. And then we were going out to dinner once a week, just revving each other up on property. And it's just, when you have those people around you, you're like, you just want to keep building it and keep pushing. And it actually came at a really good time for me in the business as well, because it was kind of, you know, I'd come back from my time away and in terms of like when I essentially had retired myself from the property, from property, and I was able to leave work for a bit, and I kind of came back and I was looking at what I wanted to do next, and this was my passion. And yeah, man, it like inspired me to really push on and go hard with this as well, and just kind of push things to the next level. So yeah, man, like having those people around, like you need them as well. If you want to go to the top, you want to push yourself, go to the top, whether it's investing or whatever you want to do in life, you need to surround yourself with the people that'll pull you to that.
Can I just circle back? Because, you know, I know we've been, you said no holds punch, you know, we're not holding back the punches and all that. That thing about my old man, about the cubby houses thing.
Yeah, yeah.
When I think about that, it actually really pissed me off at the time.
Mm.
And I actually, you try and glaze over it, but when I'm thinking about it and you're trying to be, add value to people and tell them what you're actually really going to think. It's easy just to mask over and say, you know, But I was actually pretty gutted because I'm like, here I am doing all this stuff.
Building
this stuff and all that. Because my mom, you know, he would always be praising my sister for them build this massive house and because he could see it, but had no concept of what I was doing. And then it actually did cut me a little bit in the sense that, you know, because you want approval from your family. And
100%, man.
So that, if I'm being completely honest, it actually did piss me off and probably still cuts me up a little bit now. Yeah. And maybe that's what really motivates me to keep doing it.
Mm.
So I think maybe you'll never really get over that feeling of not feeling 100% comfortable that you're doing things that people don't approve or I think it's just natural. Maybe it's something you just have to stick with and just live with the fact that maybe they will never really accept fully what you're approve. Doing. You know what I mean? I don't know about you.
Man, I agree with you 100%.
Because you said, I mean, I know we're circling back, but I think this is a really important point.
Yeah, it is.
Because you can glaze over it. Mm. But when you walked into the shed and you said to the old man, I've just won this, and he goes, couldn't believe it, and just walked out. That's easy to glaze over. But how did that really make you feel, honestly?
Yeah, well, you know what, man? In the spirit of being honest, like you were to say as well, of course, it upset me as well. Because like you build something massive, right? And my family are not wealthy, right? Like my family are okay. They're doing okay. They've always done okay. But I never wanted just to be okay. You know what I mean? I never wanted to work until I was 60 or 70 and pay my house off and blah, 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 do all that. I've always wanted a nice life. Like I've always, I don't know why, but I've always wanted, like I said in the last one, you know, a Ferrari and a nice house and that sort of stuff. Like they're my dreams, they're my goals and ambitions, you know? So you have to push past that. Sounds bad, but that level of mediocrity, because I feel like being okay, the Australian average of that, I didn't want to be that. That's mediocrity to me. Like,
and
I
it's not judging people in the sense that it's whatever you're comfortable
100%.
With. But if the fact that you want to do more, that.
I think as well, sorry to cut you off there, but I think that's a big reason why I probably didn't tell them, because I knew what their personalities were like with it as well. They'd always talked about investing. I even used to go to seminars with my mum, I think, back in the early 20-teens, you know, especially after I'd done the build and stuff, to learn more and do different stuff, but they could never pull the trigger. And obviously I was younger, I was hungrier, I was a bit more gung-ho and I was willing to do it. And I think that was maybe one of the reasons as well that I didn't really talk to them too much about it either. And I think it's okay. It's okay to stay in your lane, keep it to yourself, or just try and find people you can actually talk to about it. I actually get it all the time with clients, and they're like, man, I love just jumping on the phone with you or jumping on the phone with you or one of the team or whatever. And they're like, because no one I speak to can relate to it. Like no one understands it. They understand a little issue with a property or the feeling of elation when you settle a property as well. Like there's so much there that people can't really comprehend or compare to their own lives with it. So it's like when you have that circle and you constantly like G-ing each other up, it's the best. There's nothing better than having that circle like that. Like you said, like that circle of influence.
And you know, it's interesting when you think about your circle of influence, right? Because we're talking about people that are directly around you now.
Yes.
And I remember, I was listening to some guy, mentor, he said, you're only one circle away from a completely different life.
100%.
Like one interaction.
Those dudes that I met at Developer Conference, man. That's like, it. I keep talking, but literally
that's it.
They took me to the next level.
When I reached out to you for the discovery call, that was one circle, that one connection away from changing a completely different outlook.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty shitty time for me and my businesses. Mm. And it's just amazing how, where people think your circle of influence doesn't define where you're at.
Yeah.
And you're not far away from where you feel inherently the way you want to go and be.
Yeah, yeah.
You just got to keep pushing that.
100%.
And be open to the possibility of breaking into that different circle.
Yeah, yeah. All it takes, man, one person.
One conversation.
One conversation. Yeah, 100%. That's a big
one. Or listening to one podcast.
One podcast.
Maybe not this one.
Visiting www.australianpropertyscout.com.au just for the sake of it. To see your ugly mug on there.
your mug takes up the whole front page. That's a redesign of the website to fit you.
To fit the big noggin in there.
The semi-pro noggin. That's going to be a running. That is going to be a running theme. Mate, no, we're going to let that go.
That's bad.
Let that
go. Just like your age. But anyway. mate, I'm with you. Back to, mate, you keep taking us too far off track. We'll get back on the tracks.
Yes. So should we dabble now into, we've spoken about the circle of influence and in just putting that to bed, just be open to the fact that people aren't going to be on the same page as you. It's okay.
Yep.
But find your tribe or the people that will be helping you, which segues into your team, right? Mm. So your new circle of influence are the people that you engage to help you get to your goal.
100%.
Like a buyer's agent, as an example, whether it's the buyer's agent, whether it's your broker, whether it's your accountant, someone that's actually going to help you. So what is that new circle of influence, that new team to help you?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, someone like a mentor or a buyer's agent, you know, someone who has done what you've tried to do. If this is what you're really passionate about and you want to build yourself a big portfolio, that's what you needed. You need to make sure you get the right person on board who's got the same vision as you, who's going to motivate you and push you to achieve what you really want to achieve, right? The other big ones are obviously your broker or a banker, depending on who you're looking to work with when you initially start out, your accountant. Accountant is probably not the biggest one when you're starting out. As you get a few properties in, there's someone worth talking to. When you're starting out, probably not so much. You're starting out, you're looking at obviously your buyer's agent and your broker are your two big ones, right? If you're working with someone like a BA or even the broker, they should be able to give you contacts like your conveyance when you're building a pest that are high level. But I've always found the level of those guys always comes down to the level of the two that you engage first. You know what I mean? So like if your BA and your broker's at a high level, you're probably going to get a high level, you know, conveyancer and building and pest inspector as well, and property manager too. So, but your two biggest ones you're starting with, BA/mentor, you get the right person, you can get them both in one, and your broker.
Well, speaking of that,
yep,
the BA world has exploded in the sense
it has.
From where it probably was when you started. What are there, and without throwing anyone under the bus, but just being completely honest, are there buyer's agents out there that aren't necessarily walking the talk in their own right? Because you're saying find someone who's already bought properties and done it and figured out all the mistakes.
100%.
Do you find that that's a bit of an issue? People are telling you should do this, but they haven't done it?
100%, man. Like I've had people come to me and they go, I can't believe I had the discovery call with this person, or they went with some person that was like, what do you invest in? Oh, I invest in stocks. It's like, what are you doing sourcing people property or trying to give advice about property? Like, and you invest in stocks. You know what I mean? There should be someone that's, for one, super passionate about it, but for two, has done what you want to do. Mm. And I'm not talking a couple of properties. And I'm also not talking a couple of properties after they become a buyer's agent. You know what I mean? And start making some dollars. I'm talking about building what you've built at the level that you're at.
Mm.
And I'm not the only one out there. Like, there's plenty of people out there that'll suit different people. But like, you know, I've built it up from the bottom of having nothing, saving that base level deposit and knowing what it's like to get to that level and not having the ability to stuff up that first purchase. Because you can set you back, you know, 5-10 years getting that wrong. But yeah, you got to be super careful who you're taking your advice from. If we're talking mentor/BA, what have they done? You know,
So that should be your first question. If you are, because obviously we're here to help people whether they're inquiring with anyone, right?
Yeah, 100%.
The first question is, what properties do you own
and
what has been your strategy? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 100%.
And depending on their answer,
you'll
quickly figure out.
Definitely. And by the way, this podcast isn't just to try and get people to use a buyer's agent, right? I didn't use a buyer's agent and I did exceptionally well out of it. If I started with myself, I know this, we were chatting about this over dinner last night, I know that I would have done it like better, right? But it also made me the person I am and invest at the level that I invest. But you got to be realistic. If you've got the time and you've got the ability and it's something you really, really want to do, go out there and have a crack at doing it yourself. If you want to fast track and you want to have the huge success and all the rest of it, you know, and you get the right person, bite the bullet and use that person, especially as a minimum to kick you off to get you started with your first couple to build that base. But if you think you can do it, then what you need to look for is a broker. Yeah, potentially a broker or someone else in that space that can help mentor you of, you know, and mate, there's plenty of brokers out there that have 20, 30 plus properties as well that have done very, very well over the last 20 years as well. So it's not just a BA. So like there is that option as well. But you need someone that can mentor you and help guide you a little bit of, you know, you need to look for this or like not just you got a $500,000 pre-approval, like your serviceability is 500, here's your 500 pre-approval and they go buy something for 500 grand and then they're tapped, right? Because like so often people do that and they start in that way. So you need to have a bit of a strategy. And if if you're struggling to build that out, you need to engage someone or you need to reverse that, you know, reverse engineer that and build for it.
From my experience, right, I did all the courses.
Mm.
I did, you know, every course online, in web, 3-day conferences, everything. You know, learn it all.
I'm surprised I didn't see you. I did my shitload of them too, mate.
But the difference between you and me
yeah, yeah.
is I didn't take action on them.
Mm.
And I know I could make all the excuses in the world, and I was working on cruise ships for 10 years and traveling around, and that was my excuse. I put my head in the sand, just didn't want it. It was too hard.
Yeah.
And then you hide behind, you know, I was doing my business thing. And,
yeah.
But I was just was too scared, didn't have the balls to do it, to be honest.
That's fair enough.
And just made excuses. Not enough time.
Yeah.
There's always time if you want to do something, right?
Yep.
But the changing point for me, I'm not convincing anyone to do a buyer's agent or to go on their own. Because you can do it on your own. You've proven that you can. And you can definitely do it. But it completely changed my process, which was find someone who's already done what you've done and just copy them. And I remember when we had our first conversation, I said to you, I'm just going to copy exactly what you do.
Yeah.
And that's worked really well for me because I don't have the knowledge or the time to do it or to research the properties.
So
for people, you've got two choices really. Do it yourself, but make sure you do it properly and don't try and shortcut things.
Yeah.
Or find someone who will either guide you or will help you as a buyer's agent or could be an investor that's got their own 20, 30 properties.
Yeah.
But are they going to spend the amount of time that you need?
Definitely. Yeah. You need to find someone that's a mentor that can guide you through it. If you can find someone like that, mate, that's awesome. You found an absolute gold mine. But yeah, you're exactly right. Finding the right person is going to give you enough time to do that as well.
So it's not the knowledge. I think that's the point. Mm. It's not because you can go on YouTube and watch a thousand videos. You can find out exactly. But are you going to allocate that time after you finish work at 6 o'clock to go and do it?
And can you do it properly? You know, like it's all well and good to like, oh, I've been looking for 6 months. I'm struggling. Struggle Street. Keep missing out on properties. I was going to buy this one. Yeah. What's the execution? You're probably just overpaid for the thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like you need to be able to execute properly.
Mm.
Yeah. Because prep, you know, and getting everything, all your ducks in a row and making sure you got the right strategy and all the rest of it, that's 50% of the job. The other 50% is the execution. You get them both right, you're killing it. You get one right, you're kind of on your way. If you get them both ring, try and rush it, you're going to be regretting it for a while, and you're going to be one of those 90 odd percent people that we're talking about earlier that has a huge error, and you're gonna be telling your kids in 30 years don't touch property because you'll get burnt, you know what I mean? Because you didn't do the right things at the start,
right?
You know, it's like, sorry, I mean, talk over you again, but what is it, Muhammad Ali, his big thing was always like, you know, you gotta prepare to have what's that saying, bloody it's all what is
fail,
it?
Fail to prepare.
Prepare to fail. That's the one.
Prepare to fail. Was that Muhammad Ali?
I don't know. I think so. It was on one of his pictures I had in my room when I was a kid. Yeah. Fail to prepare. Prepare to fail.
If
you don't put in the work to set up, you're gonna fail. You're not gonna execute properly. It's the same with them. It's like me with the podcast. Just saying, I didn't bring my saying with me, and I stuffed it up. Prepare to fail. Fail to prepare. I don't even know which one I'm saying now. But
as we know, and also because with the investing side of things, as we always talk about, that there is no emotion to the actual numbers.
Yeah.
So the numbers aren't going to be generous to you. And if you get it wrong, the opportunity cost is you could have invested somewhere else 100%. And got the return.
Mate, that's one of the biggest lessons you can have is don't fluff your numbers, because the only person you're going to cheat is yourself. You fluff your numbers on, a little bit extra fatty, or market rent's 400, I'll get 450. No, mate, market rent's 400, you're going to get, you know what I mean? Like you got to be honest with your numbers, because numbers don't lie.
Mm. And the bank doesn't, that they need you to be accurate. I mean, at the end of the day, even if you fudge the numbers, your bank account,
you'll get found out. You're going to get found out. You can't, it's like with numbers, it's one of those things, man. Like you'll get found out. Mm. If you get found out at the start, it's probably better because you won't stuff up and probably make less of a mistake. But if you don't, it could end up even worse, you know, for what comes out of the back end as well.
Cool. Well, I think with the community that you're building, especially with Australian Property Scout and the members, you know, the clients, and there is a pretty cool community. I think we're going to be doing some really exciting things with that community.
Yes. Yeah, man.
In due course, which will be awesome. You know, people 100%. Looking for people to surround themselves.
Yep.
This is going to be an opportunity, right?
Definitely, man. Like we're going to have some awesome, you know, client success stories jumping on here that have done exceptionally well, 2-3 year periods, some of them even less. One of the BAs in the biz, Morgs, in sub 12 months, did 4 properties, literally starting with the first deposit in 12 months.
That is going to be an awesome podcast.
Yeah, 100%. You got to rip through that. Got Big Nick as well. Big Nick, the broker, but he did 8 properties in 10 months. Like there's some hectic stories out there of what you can do when you put your mind to it. So we're gonna go through all that. And I know obviously, we've already had some questions of people who haven't heard me on the other potties. And they wanna cover off a little bit on my story. So I know you wanna kind of do a bit of a deep dive and release some of the juicy stuff that hasn't been said before in others. And go a little bit deeper on that as well. So, mate, I think we're looking forward to a few of those too, mate. That'll be sick.
If people want to find out more about Australian Property Scout,
mm-hmm. easiest way, jump on the socials. You send us a direct message there. It's at Australian Property Scout on all the socials. And obviously, if you're wanting to book in a discovery call, maybe have a strategy sesh, review your portfolio or have a look at your options for what you could do building going forward. If you want to have that mentor, James is our discovery call expert. He's a strategist himself and he's done exceptionally well within his own portfolio and he's living, breathing proof of what we do here at Australian Property Scout. So I'm actually, like I said before, Matt, I'm really pumped and looking forward to dissecting your portfolio in a couple because I know people really want to know what we did with you in your 12 months as well, in that 12-month window that we went hard.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
I'm pumped to go through that. And that's all a credit to you, obviously.
Taking action, mate. That's your end, mate. I can do what I do, but you've got to pull the trigger. You've got to sign. I'm going to sign loan docs for you, buddy.
Well, I mean, what a great way to finish because your circle of influence can tell you.
Yep.
They can point you in the right direction or they can point you in the direction that you don't want to go.
Yeah.
So you have the active decision to make.
Definitely.
If anyone leaves this podcast today,
yep.
do not look outward at anyone else for your situation.
Yep.
Make your own decision.
Yep.
And if you don't like your circle of influence, find another circle or find people that are going to help you. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. And mate, 100% without a doubt. That is what's going to take you to the next level. That's going to help you achieve your dreams. Because at the end of the day, you know, everyone looks back at the good old years and whatnot, but you want to be setting yourself up during that period and making sure that you're really killing it, you know what I mean? And set yourself up.
All right. Well, if anyone's got any questions, make sure you keep sending them in. We love
keep sending
the feedback,
in.
Questions. I'm still looking for the Stump Sammy pearl of questions. Really want to dive a little bit deeper in that.
Yeah, 100%. We'll do a Q&A session in a couple of weeks. When we get a few more of these banked out, we'll smash out a few questions. So, okay. So yeah, man, looking forward to it. Another episode done and dusted, powered by Australian Property Scout. Check us out on the socials and at www.australianpropertyscout.com.au. Until next time, James, love
we'll
your work,
soon.
Mate. See you soon.